Alright, checking broadcast systems. Yep. Loading up normal, boring Star Wars podcast. AR3. You wanna throw a Mos Eisley radio and see what happens? Alright, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Somebody shut that droid up. The show's gonna start.
And now, it's Mos Eisley Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mos Eisley Radio. I'm one of your fine hosts, Brooks Guthrie. And on the other end of the internet streams is Zach Brown. Zach.
How's it going?
It's going quite well.
It's like freaking 90 degrees inside my room right now.
Is it?
Because my roommate insists on leaving our temperature at like 77 or something like that. And so when I've got my door closed so we can record this podcast, it like increases the temperature by like 10 degrees in my room. So it's like a sauna in here. It's ridiculous.
Well, just if it makes you feel any better, I'm sitting at like a nice cool 63, 64. So
probably without any pants on too.
Maybe. Anyways. We've got, a couple people, I've seen have thought, like, the past 2 weeks have been pretty slow news for, Star Wars The Old Republic, and I'm actually, there's a lot of things going on that I'm pretty excited about, especially all this voiceover talk that we've had, but before we want to get into the show, I wanted to, cover a couple things real quick, just so you guys know. We've got the site up, running. We're doing articles a couple times a week, you know, just keep you guys interested over at MosEisleyRadio.com. We're on iTunes. Search Mos Eisley Radio or The Old Republic or SWTOR will pop up eventually.
For the people like me that don't use iTunes and use Zune or Zune Marketplace, I am working on trying to get that up, although it's kind of ridiculous trying to get your stream in their marketplace. So for some reason it's not up yet. I'm working on trying to get that, and I'm sure we'll post something once it's ready to go, but
great.
In the process, we'll just have to be patient.
Yeah. The link to the iTunes store is actually on the website as well, on the right hand side. Just check that out. Good stuff. And I think the other thing was that, every time we have a new episode going up, we're also going to be making an associated post on the official Star Wars forums. So if you're part of that community, you can check us out and talk about how badly we screwed up and how our facts are all wrong and that kind of stuff over there.
And one quick thing, just get this out. The email address, if you'd like to email us any questions, MP3 questions or anything like that, is moseisleyradio@gmail.com.
Yep. And that goes straight to my phone, so you can just annoy the hell out of me if you want to.
Yeah, and wait till about 3 a.m. and then do it 100 times. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could like hook you up with some sort of in-game currency once the game comes out. It might be very little, but I'll make it happen.
Hey, your Galactic Republic credits face. Anyways, let's go ahead and jump into we're gonna have like we talked about this maybe, but we're going to kind of break up the show into some sections, and maybe eventually we'll have some fancy audio bumpers and stuff. But I think we're going to go ahead and call this first section News from the Galactic Republic, which I kind of like. You know,
it works.
Yeah, you know, like Zach reminded me of this, like, if anybody has seen the Clone Wars animated series, like the guy talking at the beginning of the show, like, I'm totally digging on
that. Yeah, it's totally like the sound we're going for, but
yeah. Anyways, just play that in your mind right now, and we'll just kind of go with it and see what happens. But anyways, we had two or three kind of official things out of the developers at BioWare Austin this week about the Old Republic, and the first of those, which happened pretty much right after we made our first episode, was this video on the HoloNet. I think it's the HoloNet. I always call it the wrong thing.
The Holocron.
I always call it the Holocron, but that's not what it is.
Actually,
anyways.
It is the HoloNet. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. So it was entitled Return of the Mandalorians, and it was this post that goes along with this whole timeline thing. You know, we talked last week about, you know, the timeline of where we're in. And so they're kind of trying to catch people up on, you know, where we are in the Star Wars universe. And so this video kind of highlighted that around this time, right when we're entering the game, this guy who was like a fighter, you know, just kind of like maybe one of the people that you would have seen in 300 in like a Star Wars age, you know. You know, so he was just like a fighter guy, kind of like Boba Fett was, you know, he was a Mandalorian at first. But anyways, this guy rises up out of nowhere, calls himself the new Mandalore, like gains all these followers and stuff, and was like, bam, I'm going to start like a trade embargo on the Republic and just see what happens.
Well, the thing about the Mandalorians, and a lot of people think they're a race of people. When in fact they are not. They're more of like a guild or a clan.
That makes a lot more sense.
Like a band of people that just come together, and like their whole purpose is to like gain power or to evolve, like on a personal or cultural level through conflict. And they think like embracing conflict is the ultimate way to like progress your lifehood. So basically, it's a lot like. Like you mentioned, a Spartan from 300, you kind of get that sensation, I guess, when you're like reading up on them or watching anything that has to do with them. Like, oh, these are just like the Spartan warriors, kind of like in based on Spartan mythology. So there's some similarities, I guess, you could tie in between there. And like, and basically, Mandalorians are often used as like mercenaries or bounty hunters, which is kind of why Boba Fett, who is a clone of. His father,
Jango Fett,
who was a Mandalorian, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. Like, well, yeah, I said that wrong. Jango Fett was a Mandalorian and they had the clone, and Boba Fett was actually the one that he took under his arm and like personally trained and all that kind of stuff. So I think what's really interesting about this particular video is not necessarily like you know, like the Mandalorian. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it really establishes what's going on in the universe. You know, like, the Mandalorians were kind of, like, underground at this, you know, right before this happened. They were just kind of, like, you know, distraught with where they were in life, I guess. Anyway, so this guy comes up and he rallies all these Mandalorians and they set up this trade embargo on the Republic. And, like, you know, like, split decision, they're like, man, we gotta break through this thing and see what happens. They put together this force of people with some Jedi to go try and knock it out, and, you know, they just got hammered. They got demolished. Yeah. And it actually took the smugglers going, man, this is a bunch of bullcrap. We can't move our stuff to band together and break through it.
Which I think is kind of a funny concept. It's like, here are these Jedi, and like they can't defeat them, but smugglers are like, okay, we're going to go do that, and then they defeat them. But the funny thing about the Mandalorians and them introducing them and kind of making them a power in this game is it kind of gives you the impression that they're going to be a faction in the game. And like I said, the Mandalorians aren't necessarily a race, more as a guild or a faction, so it's kind of like, if you are, and since they have aligned themselves with the Sith, if you are playing a character that is a part of the Sith Empire, I imagine we'll see a lot of quests or maybe a chance to gain influence.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't really talked a lot about, like, reputation. And, you know, I think somebody had mentioned that we shouldn't make a whole lot of comparisons to WoW, but you know, to a certain degree, it provides a really good, like, standard of comparison. So, like, I would see the Mandalorians as somebody like, you know, like the Dark Iron Dwarves or somebody like that, that you gain reputation with so you can, like, get their weapons or their armor or, you know, open up new quest lines. Maybe.
It kind of reminds me, too, like, from games like Oblivion or the Elder Scrolls series, kind of like how you have that guild that you could go. I wonder if they would implement it to where you could like go join up with them on the side and do things to like progress your way through their ranks and then maybe gain influence that way instead of like just having a, oh, you just have a standard reputation bar with them and you just want to get that up. It'd be kind of like one of those things you could choose to join. That'd be kind of neat if they would implement something like that in this game, to where you could like go and choose to join. I want to be with this faction, or I really want to like be a part of this faction, or yeah. I like want to earn these guys respect and work my way up the ranks that way. I mean, that'd be kind of cool to have subcategories within the Sith Empire, sure, or the Galactic Republic. So it's like you're not just a member of the Republic, but you're a Mandalorian, or you're not just a member of the Sith Empire, you're a Mandalorian working your way up in the Sith Empire. So you've got like all these different guys potentially, if they have all these different factions, that could be really high-ranking officers in their faction in the Sith Empire. So that would be kind of cool to see if they would implement something like that.
Yeah,
they really haven't given us a lot of information or details other than the fact that they're just in the game. They're going to be present in the storyline, and they are like going to be very conflicting. My phone is going off. I should have muted that.
No, that's fine. What's really exciting about this for me is, you know, the fact that the way they're approaching the game and the story and stuff like that is the fact that we're not just going to have a bar that says we have this much this is assuming we have some kind of reputation type system in the game. You know, we're not just going to have a bar that says we have this much reputation with the Mandalorians, you know, like it's fully integrated into like the
saying if they went that route,
of course, right? Of course. Yeah. Because, you know, BioWare is not just going to slap some status bar on this and say, this is where you are, go do a couple quests. You know, if they were going to do this, they would fully integrate it into the way that your character is developing.
Especially as much as they're pushing story and immersion in this game. And I think, like, if you really want to have an immersed game, you want to create a unique way to go about gaining influence. And like, just doing missions, it is a way you can do that. But I don't like the idea of just, like, you're an average Joe and you just do all these missions. Because it's kind of like they're going to have alliances within this empire that are probably not going to see eye to eye with other guys in the empire.
Uh-huh.
And so it'd be kind of cool, like, if you do join the Mandalorians, like, you couldn't join, like, a bounty hunter. Well, that wouldn't make sense. Let's say, I don't know what other type of guilds they could stick in, or factions or things like that. Let's say there's, like, a droid, like, smuggling guild, or a droid trading guild or something like that, to where it's, like, guys don't get along with the Mandalorians. So it's kind of like you can't join this faction, but you could be align yourself with part of the Mandalorians.
Yeah, I see where you're going with it.
I mean, obviously, since the bounty hunter class is going to be a playable class, and Mandalorians are bounty hunters, or their professions are often, or is a bounty hunter profession.
Yeah.
It would kind of make sense that would kind of go hand in hand. Or maybe it's just you don't get a choice. And if you are a bounty hunter, then you're kind of like automatically assumed to be part of the Mandalorian faction. It could work out that way, too.
We'll see how it goes. But, you know, you mentioned story and integrating story and immersion and all that kind of stuff. The other big news that we've had in the past 2 weeks has been all this talk about the ridiculous amount of voiceover work that's going into this game. So, you know, it's taking this concept from KOTOR and KOTOR 2 about, you know, pretty much all of your NPCs being voiced, except we're removing all, like, written out quest content, which pretty much everything about this excites me. We can go about it a couple different ways, but what are your thoughts on, you know, the blog post and then the video documentary 3 that came out?
Well, the video... week. The video got me excited on more, I guess you would say, more than just the sound production going into it. The sound production is ridiculous, but the thing about the video that got me excited is I think that was the first time I really got a feel of what the game was going to look and play when I saw it. And my first impression was it looked a lot better than I was anticipating it to.
Mm-hmm.
Going back, and I've been playing actually recently Knights of the Old Republic 2. It still looks okay, but it looks very dated.
Yeah, it's definitely dated.
And like, there's a lot of awkwardness in the movement and things like that with the characters in that game. And I've always had the impression that, you know, the general rule of thumb with MMOs is they're technically like a generation behind whatever the current technology is, or whatever the current generation is, they're generally, in terms of graphics, a generation behind. So I kind of had the mindset or impression that this was probably going to look a lot like KOTOR in an MM, only just bigger with more stuff. And I was like, I'm cool with that. But like looking at this video, my first initial impression was like, wow. I mean, those characters look really good. There's so much detail in the environment, in the characters. The only thing that I really saw in that was just they were on this starship, which obviously they're limited into the amount of detail that they can have with that. But even then, it still looked great.
Yeah, I should mention that the clips that we're seeing in Video Documentary 3 are directly from this quest line that everybody got to play at
E3. This playable demo.
So I mean, if you've read anything about that, you know the setting, and we'll kind of go into that maybe a little bit more here in a sec. But go ahead.
Okay. What I was going to say was, like, watching this video, it was really cool to see, I guess you would say, like, how the characters would interact back and forth with each other. But not only that, like, your character, I feel like it's going to have a voice in this one. Maybe. I mean, the demo we saw, they had two characters that were partied together. There was a Sith and there was a bounty hunter, and both characters were like, they had dialogue lines that they were vocally saying.
I'm almost positive that each class has like maybe one or two voices associated with it. And so I don't know if this has been like officially confirmed anywhere. There's a thread on the Tor forums about like stuff we know and stuff that's rumored, and I think that the fact that your character is going to have a voice is pretty much confirmed at this point,
which is kind of cool, which makes you wonder, like, when you choose any type of response, is the character going to say something? Is he going to speak that response, or is it just going to like enter it in?
I don't know. I guess because, you know, at that point, you kind of take this hybrid blend between KOTOR, where all your responses were just text-based.
Silent,
And then they would talk. But, you know, is it going to, like, I feel like a lot of this stuff is, in one sense, scripted, but at the same time, since the stories are so dynamic, you know, there's stuff that's going to be. All right, sorry about that. We had a technical difficulty. Somebody's internet died. We don't know who.
Yeah, we...
Anyways.
I blame the Jawas. I blame the Ewoks, actually. Jawas are cool. Ewoks, not cool.
Exactly.
Like, okay, I was just thinking about this the other day. If Jawas and Ewoks got into a fight, who would win?
Jawas. They have the sand crawlers. They would just run them over.
Definitely.
Like there's a big difference between like a sand crawler and like an AT-ST, you know, like you can't wrap up a sand crawler's legs.
Okay, but that's kind of cheap using vehicles. I was more like, you know, fist fight. Okay, picture this: Jawas and Ewoks in a pillow fight. How entertaining would that be? With Benny Hill music playing in the background.
Anyways,
that'd be awesome.
Not completely derailing from what we were talking about. I think I was in the middle of comparing, like, KOTOR to, you know, what we saw in this video where, you know, we're going to be, like, selecting text as replies. And, you know, we don't really know yet whether or not, like, we're going to hear us say that or what.
Well, the reason why I was wondering this is because in that video, you clearly hear dialogue from both the person that's the Sith and the bounty hunter. And by the way, I instantly recognize the bounty hunter's voice as none other than Steve Blum, Spike Spiegel, for all you Cowboy Bebop fans, who lends his voice for like everything animated anymore. He's like the Wolverine, or he plays Wolverine in Wolverine and the X-Men.
Okay.
Or he does the voice work for that, and he does a bunch of other popular voice work. He was actually in Company of Heroes.
Oh, really?
He was one of the Allied commanders. And that, I believe, too.
That's pretty cool.
But I instantly recognize his voice as the bounty hunters. And that's very cool. Just knowing that, I mean, they went out and got, like, Steve is a quality voice talent actor, if I guess you would call him an actor. And
absolutely.
So I love the fact that, you know, some of the voice work in the past has it's worked. But a lot of times, like, listening to it, it's just kind of been like, enough to get by kind of thing. And it wasn't that big of a deal 6 years ago because I'm like, oh, this is so cool. But but now looking back at it, it's definitely showing its age. And like, since they're putting so much effort into the voice work in this, it'd be a shame for them not to get quality voice actors.
Yeah.
And so like, just recognizing Steve's voice alone already tells me that they're pursuing the right people for the job for this. And that is good.
Yeah. Like, well, the other thing that really excites me about all this voiceover work is like the technical aspect of it. You know, I'm an audio engineer. I've done some voiceover work in the past, you know, just a little bit. And, you know, first off, I made a post about this on the site that I think is worth checking out. It kind of really outlines the details. But like, you know, they've been recording with hundreds of actors in 5 different cities. You know, that alone is a feat. You know,
yeah.
You know, like, when you really break it down, it's like, okay, we're just going to record this stuff. But, you know, you have to worry about, like, the same pitch, the same pronunciation. You know how many different ways there are to say, like, Mos Eisley or something like that, you know? And then, you know, they said that the recorded audio is 10 times that of KOTOR. So, you know, you and I have both played around with the audio files from there. The vocals alone are like 500 megabytes, like the dialogue stuff. Multiply that by 10, that's 5.5 gigs. You know, without some,
this game is going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, without some kind of elaborate compression technique, you know, 5.5 gigs alone just for dialogue, that's incredibly exciting to me.
Well, that's an interesting point you bring up. And it just shows how ambitious they're being with this project because, like you said, for them to have the same pitch, like if you're in a battle sequence and you're going to have like some type of interactive voice menu come up or interactive voice situation where you've got to respond back and forth, you're going to have multiple options to the outcome of that.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very difficult, I mean, for them to nail everything. To where if you go this option and you go down this ladder, to where everything is going to sound the same as if you went down this option and went to this ladder. I mean, by sound the same, I don't necessarily mean emotionally so much as, like you said, just in terms of pitch, everything sounding like it, the tone is this and everything is the same. Because it's kind of like if you're in a firefight and you're having a conversation with someone, their voice isn't just going to like get instantly calm.
Yeah.
I mean, it can change. Don't get me wrong. Their emotion can change, but they're going to still have that same intensity there based on the fact that they're in the middle of a firefight at that moment. So it's like for them to nail this, and obviously we're just speculating, but for them to pull this off to you know, have like really good execution, it's going to take a lot of work on their part.
Well, it's no doubt, and I think they said this, you know, there's hundreds of people behind this from, you know, the people at BioWare who are doing this, who are writing up the scripts, you know, the third-party voice directors, all the talent, all the engineers at the various studios, including, you know, people at Skywalker Sound who are I think mm-hmm. really heading this up. You know, they've just got a top team. And I think the thing to take away from this, whether or not you can totally nerd out on like the specifics, is the fact that, you know, they're taking this game seriously in every aspect.
Yeah. And they're pushing, I mean, not just MMOs, but gaming to the next level.
Oh, no, hands down. After this game comes out, like video game audio, they're going to set the new extremely high bar for video game audio, and both in terms of quality and sheer content, as well as story and like depth of story and stuff like that.
Now this is all pending. Like there is not the most epic failure collapse of a video game.
Well,
I guess you'd say in the history of video games.
I think at this point,
pending that, yeah. I guess, yeah, I agree with you completely.
Yeah. Okay.
But the interesting thing about this video, though, is more than just the audio that's in it, we get a lot of looks at like what the UI potentially might look like.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what some of your thoughts were on, like, your first impressions were of the UI just based on this video.
I'm definitely planning on making a post about this on the site within the next week and going into some really solid detail. I was a big fan of just the way the UI looked in general. You know, it had a lot of familiarities for me. It has like all the player icons and stuff down at the bottom of the screen. And mm-hmm. that's where I had all my stuff using mods when I played WoW. You know, we've got really similar concepts in terms of like spell and power icons, you know, like cooldowns, you have some kind of animation. You know,
my roommate walked in and he looked at it and his first reaction was that looks just like a World of Warcraft UI.
It's pretty similar, and
I agree with him. And my response to him was World of Warcraft's UI was just on the basic level. I understand you can mod it out and do whatever you want with it, which I really hope that they adopt the mod community with this.
I'm pretty sure that they have said something to the effect of the UI is going to be open to be modified.
But besides that, I mean, World of Warcraft is one of those games that was so successful. Because of that, there are things you want to take away from games that are successful. There's things you just want to take away from that and adapt it. It's kind of like the whole Call of Duty health regen kind of thing. Like in Call of Duty,
that was from Halo.
Halo had the shield thing.
Same concept though. You don't have a set amount of health. You have, you know, a roughish amount of health that regens over time.
Yeah. And like that was one thing with Halo that everyone like totes how it changed the shooters, which I'm not a big Halo fan, but that's beside the point. It was the fact that it was one of the first games that would only allow you to carry like two or three weapons at once. And like all other shooters kind of adopted that afterwards. In terms of like the mainstream level. WoW is the same thing for MMOs because of its popularity and because so many people accepted it. And because of that, that's why it's no surprise to me to see a UI that's very similar to where you've got how the experience bar is underneath it. It looks similar to how you would see something in UI or in World of Warcraft. It also looks a lot like something from Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious that, you know, while they're going to do their own thing to a certain degree, these games are successful and, you know, they've developed rough UIs that people have become familiar with at that point. So you don't want to throw people into this game and just present them with some wonky ass UI that they have no idea how to interact with.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain standard and that standard is going to look similar across every game.
Yeah, and it's like if when that standard's there, it's one less thing people have to worry about when they first. And this is going to be a huge game and a lot for somebody to take on, especially if they're new to MMOs. So I think this is going to bring a lot of people to MMOs that have probably never played it before, just because it's a Star Wars game.
Yeah,
you know. So because of that, you want something. You want something that's going to be easy to explain to people, and it's already easy to explain something that's kind of like the standards, and so that's why I think that they're doing what they do. But I also think that they have to allow the mod community to be able to come in.
Absolutely.
And just do whatever they want with it, because when you've got the mod community in, that's where you're going to come up with just great and unique and new ideas of ways that you can improve this game. And then BioWare can maybe take some of those ideas and incorporate a better version in the game, or maybe take that person's idea and like just directly put it in the game, or just maybe say, hey, this person did something awesome. You should like do what they're doing, or you should take their mod and implement it in the game.
Yeah.
Because they want to give that person credit or whatever. I think that is just as important, like, as them coming up with their own standard stuff for whenever you first load the game up.
Yep, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. So I think with that, we should move on to our next section, I feel kind of weird breaking this up into sections, you know, because it's just like, you know, we're just here, we're doing a show, we want to talk about Star Wars because we love it, but you know, I think it's worth it. So I think we're going to call this next one Stories from the Outer Rim, which is just going to be kind of like rumors and discussion and speculation and all that kind of stuff.
So, yeah, and we don't have a lot this week, but basically what I'd like to hit on is there was an article that was floating around. I believe it was originally wrote by a person that was a part of the PC Gamer UK staff.
That's correct.
But this article showed up on other websites like Games Radar. It was United States.
It was published in this month's or next month's. I don't know. I have a subscription, I think. Yes, the September episode of PC Gamer is on episode. Games. What?
You said September episode.
Oh, I'm sorry.
September edition.
Yeah, man. I don't really read anymore, so anyways.
Read stuff.
Yeah. I'll let you go ahead and give some of the details, but it was done with Rich Vogel at E3, who's one of like the big honchos at BioWare Austin. And so
there really wasn't a lot I was gonna say on it other than the fact that it at the very end of the article the author raises the question, well, you know, what you showed us is awesome and I love it, but where's kind of like the 25 person raids, where's the PvP, where's the auction houses, you know, space combat, all that kind of stuff. And basically his reaction is it's all there, we just haven't found the right time to show it to you yet, and we're just kind of waiting to show it to you. So it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, we've all kind of wondered, are they going to have stuff like that in this game? Are they not? I've kind of always imagined they're going to have to put something to where...
This goes back to what we were saying about, like, standards in the MMO world with the interface. You know, like, everybody has PvP. Everybody has some kind of auction house economy kind of thing. I could deal without 25-player raids.
I personally would like that. I think it'd be cool to have an army of, you know, Republic soldiers going in and working on...
That could be cool.
Fighting, like a major Sith boss. And that was something else I noticed in this movie is, at one point, they were the Sith was targeting a character and it said boss Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
So it's like stuff like that. It'd be really cool to go fight these, like, super powerful Siths or Jedi and... have to work together to take them down because they're so powerful.
Yeah, I guess I'm still stuck in this kind of WoW mindset of, you know, raids just being this terrible, boring grind. And I'm waiting for BioWare to do their spin on it and show us, you know, really what they're going to do with it. And I hope it's something unique. And I'm getting the impression that it's going to be, and I'm pretty excited about that, actually. Well,
even if it is kind of like the norm, I personally don't have any problem with it. Because I feel like this is just going to be a completely different game. Like, it's not going to be... I could be wrong on that, but...
Well, like, from my standpoint, you know, they've said specifically, you can go through this entire game basically playing by yourself. And, you know, they've put a strong emphasis on getting rid of the grind and the fetching quests. And I feel like to integrate their whole concept of story and spinning it the BioWare way... Like, I don't think they're going to expect players
put themselves in a position to have 25 people to finish the story.
A, that. B, and spend, like, you know, 5 hours, 4 or 5 nights a week. You know, they've said that they're not going to be catering to the hardcore top-tier players. And, you know, that's the stuff that, while I had fun raiding Molten Core before it was, you know, completely nerfed to hell, like, that stuff was fun to me, but I just don't have the time to enjoy
You don't necessarily have that, but there are a core group of gamers that aren't hardcore gamers that are into that kind of stuff. I'm one of them. You know, I'm one of the guys that I enjoy going out and doing something with, like, 20 of my friends. And just, you know, playing for that. And, like, all of us getting together to have, like, an online social gathering and basically just hanging out, chilling, and we're working on doing something in the process. I mean, they could spin it to where they could have a side story, and if you want to have us complete this side story and find out what happens at the end of it and, like, maybe impact something that's going on in the universe, then you want to do this to encourage people to do it. They could put some type of spin on all like that, but there is a core group of gamers that play MMOs that want that experience, that want, and that's not necessarily hardcore, or they don't have to make it to where you have to do it five nights a week just to be, to get anywhere with it. I mean, they might, but then again, it's kind of like, I wouldn't necessarily like lump the average raider in the same category as the hardcore player that just lets his life be consumed with the game.
That's true.
And even then, those hardcore people are going to be the ones to create initial buzz, I feel like, for the... Well, I wouldn't... this game's already got a lot of initial buzz, so maybe that's going to be a bad analogy.
I know what you mean, and I don't want to use this podcast as a pedestal to complain about WoW, because I certainly love WoW, and at the time that I stopped playing, I still did. And like I said before, I think I'm still kind of stuck in that mindset, and I haven't given BioWare the chance to take their spin on it and present me with something that I know that I'm probably going to love and be really excited about once it's integrated into the game.
Well, there's also the chance that it's going to be the same thing and you might not like it. But there's going to be a lot more to this game than just that. And that's what they're showing us right now, is like, this game is about story more than anything.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're wanting to play, I mean, I'm just excited at the chance just to play, like, through another KOTOR game that's going to be online with my friends. And to have all this other stuff on top of that, potentially, I think it's just just going to be that much more insane.
I would be plenty happy of them releasing a patch for KOTOR where I could just run around with you guys and three other people and go through the quest together. But this game is going to be that and so ridiculously much more.
Well, it's going to have to be if they want to keep people coming back every month.
Of course.
And they haven't came out and said that it's going to be subscription-based, but, I mean, we're pretty safe to assume that that's probably what's going to happen.
Again, industry standard at this point.
Yeah, because if you've got a game that's highly addictive, that people enjoy, that's fun to play, people are going to pay $15 a month to play it, and it's very lucrative. So, in order to do that, though, they're going to have to give players something or reason to keep playing. That's my big concern to me. Is like, I like the journey of getting to the end, but I hope when I get to the end that there's a lot for me to do in the world, and it's not kind of like, man, this is kind of boring, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't talked at all about endgame, you know, being so focused on the story of your character and your class and all that kind of stuff. They haven't talked about what's going to happen when you reach your max level, you know, what do you do next? You know, it's obviously going to be something, because they're going to, they put all this time into it. They're going to have people coming back, but yeah, we'll see.
That being said, hopefully they'll elaborate more in the future and give us some more details. And actually, this week is Comic-Con.
Yeah, I'm waiting for some kind of big news release at Comic-Con.
I'm hoping this is going to be bittersweet for me, because I'm going out of town to hike my first 14,000 foot mountain in Colorado this Saturday, and I'm very excited about that. But I'm definitely going to have, like, no cell phone reception, I think, where I'm at.
You're going to have so much news to catch up on.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be, like, driving back to Indiana on Sunday, and I'm going to be like, can I just get one bar in Kansas, please? Just one bar.
Once you hit that one bar, you're going to get, like, 60 text messages from me that say, OMG, OMG, OMG. Anyways, not to completely nerd out, but I think we should probably move on to, like, our other discussion that we wanted to have this week. You know, we talked about kind of breaking down some of the classes individually. And I think we want to talk about the Trooper and the Bounty Hunter this week. You know, just kind of go over what those classes are about and maybe have, like, a little bit of discussion about where they're going to set within the game and stuff like that. So, Zach, do you want to kind of outline the Trooper, what we got going for that?
Basically what they've showed us so far with the Trooper is, I feel like they're wanting to make it to where you've got the role of a leader that is a Trooper, kind of like a sergeant or a, like a platoon leader, or a more commando type elite Trooper, Because the thing about the Trooper, it is a throwaway character. I mean, the reason Trooper, like they said in their movie, the reason Troopers exist or Stormtroopers exist is so they have something to fight and like just go through wave upon wave of, and it's like, okay, that's cool. So that way the Jedi can do their thing and look cool in the process or whatever. So you've got this Trooper, and basically the way the playstyle is going to be is it's going to be a lot like a normal, I guess you would say, like what we would imagine a clone trooper or a stormtrooper to be, or a Republic trooper in the other game, the other two KOTOR games. But this one is going to be more of like I already said, an elite one. And so some of your abilities, they're all going to be based around your weapon. You're going to have a lot of big weapons, a lot of heavy weapons, a lot of explosive type attacks. And you're also going to have a lot of stamina, I guess you would say, because your character is going to be up on the front line getting in the thick of it. And because of that, you're going to have some hand-to-hand attacks and hand-to-hand capabilities. So a few of the things they showed us was what I called the backhand. And it was basically this attack where this trooper just goes up and like hits someone with like the butt of his rifle or his fist and knocks them down on the ground, kind of like a stun, I guess you would say. And a couple other things they showed us was like a sticky detonator or like a sticky bomb. It's kind of like the perfect AOE attack. You know, you like put it on someone, he could go run around in a cluster of guys and blow up, and it would be like the perfect type of instance just to get an AOE attack.
That's all like a plasma grenade in Halo, right?
Yeah, something sort of similar to that, I guess you would say. And then the last thing they showed us in a clip that's on their site is what I call the noob tube. It's basically shooting like a grenade launcher or some type of grenade round out from the rifle of the gun.
I am playing Trooper right now just to piss you off with the noob tube.
Yeah, you and Call of Duty, come on. Yeah. Thunk, I'll just thunk, be sitting there. You'll send your hair.
Thunk, thunk, thunk. Oh, I'm such a bastard with that.
Yeah, I know you are.
Anyways, so you listed a couple discussion questions here. What role do you think the Trooper will have? You know, you kind of talked about like it's going to get in the thick of things. I see the Trooper having a lot of like modifiers or like, you know, like short period buffs for party members, being kind of like an elite person. You know, you're standing up front, you're taking damage, you're shooting people, you're hitting people with your gun, but I think you're also going to be kind of like a person who buffs up your party members. That's where I see them.
That's kind of an interesting thought. Like you could have maybe some specific rally type abilities or
If you look like at a like a warrior in World of Warcraft or any other game, you know, they've got like increasing your attack power for 2 minutes or something along those lines.
Like I remember playing City of Heroes, there were different types of abilities or different types of classes in that game that would have just all these passive abilities that would buff everyone in their party.
Yeah.
And
Maybe like a paladin.
It'd be
kind of
cool
too,
to see them have something like I guess that thought never crossed my mind. It'd be kind of cool to see them have something like that because they would be the leader type figure, so they could inspire everyone.
Jedis could fill that role too. You know, troopers could and just end up just being total meatheads. But I don't really see that happening.
I don't kind of see that happening. I kind of see them being the guy that is up front that is going to take a lot of damage. I see them as being like hard to kill in terms of like the amount of damage you dish out on them. Their hit points are going to be significantly higher, I think, than any other class, because it's going to have to be for them to be just kind of like running up in the combat and getting involved in the thick of it. I also see the Trooper as having potentially some unique abilities. Well, I would like to see, because they said he is a commando, I think it'd be kind of cool if they would give him like, let's just say like a bombardment ability to where he could call in like a, like,
sorry,
What's that?
You remember that? It was one of the American kind of specialties in generals. Do you remember this? The guy would be like, bombardment, no?
Like one Ranger army like coming at me and I'm like, Scott's door! Boom! Boom! Boom!
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I do remember. Sorry. It was like whenever you selected it. Well, anyways, it's like an ability like that. I mean, that'd be kind of cool to have like, let's say you were outdoors and you could like use this and it would radio in like a fighter to come in and drop a payload on whatever your target is.
That could be pretty cool.
Or I could see them having maybe some type of stun ability, because I would figure them to carry a stun rifle more than any other character in the game.
Uh-huh.
Or their weapon capable of having stun, just because of the obvious set for stun, you know, from episode 4.
Yeah, right.
Why'd you have to kill him? He said stun. But, I mean, I could see them having that, like a crowd control type ability like that, put into it. It would make sense with the lore of that character.
Uh-huh. Cool. I think I wrapped it up in saying that I think they'll be, their abilities will be, for me, I think they're going to be pretty straightforward, you know, shoot, throw grenades, stuff like that. But I think there's going to be a strong emphasis on modifiers for your party and stuff like that.
One thing I was thinking about, and this is all just speculation, like all this that we're talking about is just speculation, but based on some of the stuff they've showed us, there's a lot of artwork for different types of armor.
Mm-hmm.
For the trooper, it looks like depending on the environment you're in. I wouldn't be surprised to see them. And like when you think about all the different troopers in the Star Wars universe, the thing that's like makes them stand out above and beyond everyone else is their armor. Just like not only their look, but the purpose of it.
I get what you mean. And
I could kind of see them maybe basing a lot of their abilities just based around that. So it would give them a lot more defensive type, potentially a lot more defensive type abilities and resistances. And you would have unique armor sets maybe that would work better in different different planets than others. So like if you were on Hoth, you would have an armor set that you could wear that would make it to where it wouldn't be as big of a deal for you as it would be for like all the other classes in the game, just because that kind of fits the role of that character, I feel like.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, which is kind of funny, and when we look at the bounty hunter, when you think of bounty hunters, you don't necessarily think of armor when it comes to bounty hunters. You think of all their weapons and their devices and like the stuff that they've got up their sleeve that can, like, what are they just going to pull out next? So it's kind of like, I guess I think of where I think is the trooper as being more armor based and like his identity being kind of like all about what his armor is. I see the same role being taken up with the bounty hunter, only it being based around his weapons. So,
okay. I really like that concept of, you know, and it may only apply to these two classes, but, you know, like their abilities and their powers and what makes them unique is specifically to one thing. So like the armor and the weapons here.
Yeah. And some of the abilities they have shown us with the bounty hunter, the first one, which I called Rocket Man, just because I didn't know what else to do, is the fact that they can have jetpacks. I mean, that's kind of cool. That's like a, like, OMFG, I got to press this button right now to get me out of here. Got to get foe right this second, you know, and like it could be some type of ability that would spring them up in the air to get them out of like harm's way or something like that. Or it could be just something that could modify their attack ability or something. I think of, once again, City of Heroes. You had the ability to hover as a hero in that game, which was kind of like enhanced your defense when you were hovering, but at the loss of accuracy at the same time. So I could kind of see them using the jetpack in that same situation. Yeah. Another thing that they showed us was what I called slash wrist, was the rocket pack or the rocket launcher or any other type of gadget that's going to be on his wrist. You know, when you think of Boba Fett, he's got his rocket launcher. He's got like that gadget that wraps or ties people up. It's like this like some type of metal, I guess you'd say cable or something like that, and it'll just wrap around someone and entangle them.
Mm-hmm.
So the bounty hunter is going to have a lot of, I think, little things like that, or
trinkets,
gadgets or devices that you can use to just like trick people maybe into combat.
Sure.
And then the last significant weapon that we've seen or ability is the flamethrower, which is going to, that's just going to look cool. I mean,
yeah.
Flamethrower. There's who doesn't like just setting, who doesn't enjoy setting stuff
who
on
doesn't
fire?
Like
I mean,
fire.
Seriously.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how I feel about the bounty hunter yet. I like it. I'm intrigued by what they have planned for it. I can't really figure out what its playstyle is going to be, you know, because they said that the Sith is going to be like the Rogue, you know, from the demo they played at E3.
Yeah.
You know, you built up combo points and then you had like a finishing move. A bounty hunter, I feel like, is going to be kind of somewhere in between maybe like a Sith and a smuggler, you know? So I see them doing a lot of like sneaky kind of things.
Well, like, I kind of see
like,
it like potentially relating a lot to a trooper, but I can see what you're saying. Like, I feel like it's going to be a trooper with maybe a lot less defensive capabilities and more offensive capabilities.
Yeah, I'm picturing a lot of like guerrilla warfare where, you know, they're like hopping up with their jetpack, you know, doing some stuff, running around behind, setting some like trap, you know.
Yeah.
like winding people up between trees, you know, setting some kind of like cable up that knocks people over. I mean, obviously this is completely ridiculous, but that's the kind of thing that I kind of see the bounty hunter is doing. Cause you know, they're extremely smart people, and they have a lot of money and they have a lot of gadgets. And I think they're going to kind of combine all those to,
and on that same note, they're going to, I also feel like they're going to be upfront just for obvious reasons, like some of the tools that they have on them are very short range weapons. So I feel like it's not going to be one of those things that's just completely like off in the distance kind of character.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's going to be in the thick of things.
That's the smuggler is going to fill that off in the distance role. But
yeah,
we'll talk about that another show.
Something I would expect, though, similar to like I said with the trooper, I see the bounty hunter having some type of, I guess you would say, like snare ability, to where like the grappling hook or the cable, where you could entangle some guy, you know, and ensnare him to where he's useless for like 20 seconds or something like that. He'll have like a crowd control type ability. I feel like it would fit his role. And so because of the type of devices and gadgets he's going to have on him. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him have something like that.
Uh-huh. I could totally get behind him being kind of like a crowd control type of class, or her, obviously.
Yeah.
Who's doing a lot of kind of things with their blasters and doing all these crazy tricks with gadgets and stuff like that. I'm kind of excited to play one. I think I want to play everything at some point, at least to some degree.
Yeah.
But
it'd be nice to, you know, play through each individual story, since they're gonna
it's gonna be completely different, which
it'll be
is
very time consuming too when you think about that too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I kind of had you know, like a class problem with World of Warcraft. I played just about everything to 30 or so. I was one of those people. It took me forever to get a 60.
Yeah, my roommate who plays City of Heroes still to this day is
does
like,
he really?
Yeah, he's one of those people that as soon as he gets one to 50, he just starts over and goes from there.
Yeah.
He's got like 7 or 8 50s. He loves that. So I'm thinking like he's definitely looking forward to this game just because of the idea that everything is going to be unique. And
Certainly.
He's that type of person where he wants to go back and play every class different, or each class all the way through to the end.
Cool. Cool. So, I mean, I'm really excited about both these classes. I'm really excited about their potential for where they sit in the story as like a solo thing within their own class story. And then as a whole with party play, I think they've got a lot of different unique abilities that are going to make both of them extremely fun to play. And, you know, we haven't even factored in all the other classes.
Yeah,
there's so much to do.
Yeah, we don't even know what the other classes are going to be. So,
yeah. So, You know, I think that about wraps us up for this week, unless there's anything else you wanted to touch on.
No, I'm good.
Okay, cool.
You know, I was thinking, in hindsight,
you're always
thinking. Is episode two, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking we should come up with a creative name for episode two. And then, so I was like, well, episode two of Star Wars had none other than the glorious title of Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know how we can outdo that epic name for a movie. So I was like, we should just simply call this episode Attack. I mean, that's like the only thing I can do. I can't
how
do
about
adjust.
Like Attack of the Emo, Whiny, Annoying, Soon to Be Burnt to a Crisp Jedi? Because, God, I hate Hayden Christensen. I don't know about you.
I didn't know he was...
That guy was terrible. But anyways...
You just, like, showed us your true feelings right there.
It's
holy
true.
Crap.
God.
I'm afraid to be on your bad side now.
Anyways, I think that probably wraps
awkward.
It up. Yeah, we should...
That's like walking in on a pair of Grimorians having sex with each other.
I'm just going to stop the episode right there.
Hey, you guys have a good one.
Yeah, take care. We'll see you in a couple weeks. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sitting here, just waiting. Waiting. You're like a little girl. You're like a little girl. Just go. Go already.
We should have nicknames. I can be Hung Solo.
Hung Solo?
I'm Asian, not a porn star, bitch.
1 time I was hanging down by the pod race arena, and I heard Sebulba fart. Have you ever heard Sebulba fart before? You know, it's kind of like his pod racer. His pod racer's like, choo, 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 choo. He's just sitting there, he's like, boom, 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 boom.